Doug Wood.
No paperwork. Yes, my name is Doug Wood. I've been a commercial fisherman my whole life. I'm actually 40-some years ago. And I actually sent you all an email to invite you on a rockweed harvest, mechanical harvester boat. Helen Winchenbach sent you that. Ellen and Mick Devin came for that, and I appreciate that. And what a mechanical pump has a drum on the front, and it has a set of knives about halfway back from that drum. That drum snorkel is the correct length so that the plant can never be over-harvested. And so what that pump does is it can't come down vertically on a plant, which would destroy the holdfast. The mechanical pump that's been designed, this is the good news. You know, that was some of the observation here today. If there was a mechanical harvester that could do it and be 16 inches, and we found something special. We have motivation not to over-harvest the plant, just as a Christmas tree farmer or any farmer wants to sustain their plants. That's what I've never looked at a rockweed plant like I do now. You know, it was something that you just tripped on and didn't like on the beach, and now you see, now I just see an ability to pass something to my children, a renewable resource that can be harvested and that is sustainable. You know, and you'll hear testimony from environmentalists, but the greatest testimony of all is the lobster fishery. I actually have the privilege to harvest in some of the harder areas of lobstering, Friendship and Bremen. You'll recognize those names in the court news a lot. Those fishermen will not tolerate anything that will affect their lobster industry in a poor way. If our harvest practice impacted the lobster industry in any way, I would not have a job. I would not have a boat. I wouldn't have a house. So let history tell us about the future and see that 7 years, I came into Friendship and harvested on a 7-year growth, and Friendship had experienced an acceleration of lobster harvest, just as the rest of the coast has. It's already been spoken of. Bremen, which I was able to give the demonstration harvest on to our representatives, was a 4-year recovery growth that they were able to come in and see 4-year seaweed. I'd even cut a ledge a week previously, not intending to show anybody this ledge. But when I went to the fishermen's forum and saw that there was misinformation given, I thought, here's a great opportunity to bring people out and show them a ledge that was half harvested and half 4-year growth. And I challenged the people on the boat to be able to tell the difference. Because the limitations of the mechanical pump, we can't come in like a hand harvester. If there's a boulder like this and the rockweed is growing out of all the hard bottom, we can't come in and harvest perfectly around that boulder. It was demonstrated on the boat that we're very limited. We might get a plant here and then a plant here, and we have to raise the pump up to get a higher plant. So we leave, which was shown by the previously harvested area that I was able to take out the representatives to. So I would just caution you, though, also in the need for management, but to adopt what is already in place. We file paperwork with Department of Marine Resources. We fill out trip reports. Maybe some of you aren't familiar with this. Every day that we go out, we record the amount of poundage of seaweed that we harvest, where we harvest it. We've already put on ourselves these subsectors that really narrow it down to where the productive areas are, where they aren't. As far as available rockweed for us to be able to harvest, there's a ton of the coast that we don't even bother with because it's not productive. All your areas where there may be ice damage, it's not worth my time to go there. My pump only will cut no shorter than 16 inches. So when the ice damage takes the canopy off the plant, all that's left is stuff that I'm not interested in, and I won't come back for another 4 or 5 years. So that had its previous 4 or 5 years, and now it's got another 4, which is 8 years, depending on the cold of our winters. And there's storm damage areas, depending on a hurricane. After hurricane, what do you see on every boat ramp or every shore or every beach? Tons of rockweed. Well, that's rockweed that ends up going out to see that we can't pour into our economy. And so those areas are off limits to us because it's not productive. So the last thing I'd like to explain of my observation of the rockweed bed is the old growth nature of it. If you picture yourself harvesting lumber, trees, the old growth was one tree grew up ahead of the rest and built a canopy that dwarfed the rest, which stunted their growth. What I've seen in the old growth harvest is where you come in and you take that canopy off, and then 12 other plants are released to grow. So you actually end up with more volume on that and more stability in that bed. So when the ice comes or the storm comes, you can see the stability and the strength and that regeneration of that younger growth that isn't so weak that when the first wave comes and tears that canopy off or other issues that come along. And so what we're able to do, just like a hay field, is you're able to manage your beds. It's thicker, more stable. Just like a new growth forest, the wind doesn't blow holes through it because it stands together. Same with the rockweed. Same with the ice. Gives it more hold fast. So I would like to have more of you on the boat just because of the unknown nature of mechanical harvesting. But one of my biggest concerns going into this, I was part of sea urchin harvesting, poging. I watched the Russians come in, buy up our pogies. I've seen the Alaskans, midwater trawlers come in, clean out our herring. I've seen, now we're seeing the elver fishery. We're going to wonder what's going to happen with that. And the first question I had for Robert Morse was, and I interviewed him as much as he interviewed me, and I said, I am not willing, just as you heard from our Jonesport fishing family, we're not interested in watching another fishery go down the toilet. I have no interest in starting a business that I can't hand over to my children. And so I was convinced before I ever purchased my first mechanical harvester that it was sustainable and that it was going to be a valuable fishery for the coast of Maine and it would provide jobs. I'm now at the point where I started out the first 3 years by myself. Now I've purchased another mechanical harvester. I've hired another man. It's looking like it's going to take about a four-man crew to work those two boats. And so we're seeing jobs increased in this fishery where other fisheries we're seeing them lost or just the inability to compete because of market value or cost of working. So that's all I have for you. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. When you took us out on the boat, I asked about the area that you needed to operate one of those boats. And we talked about you were working in the Damascata, you were working in the Medomic, and you were working in the St. George's River.
Mm-hmm.
So the two boats that you have and the four employees require that much area for those boats to be profitable for you, correct?
You know, I'm glad you did bring that question up.
Yeah.
Because I had some time to think about that. There are different fisheries that we've watched on the coast. Purse seiners is how we first began to capture pogies and herring. You might have had, we'll just say, 30 for the coast of Maine. A fishery that required less boats, less jobs, but was sustainable and supported other industry. Rockweed, mechanical harvesting, is similar to that aspect where you've got less boats, less jobs, bigger area, but more sustainability, more control also because of it. You have, and so then it supports other jobs. And so as we become more mechanical, as we become more efficient in what we do, obviously it's a greater area, but can be managed more readily because of it. Because even on the worst day, we can't overharvest. I probably went longer on that.
That's just a quick follow-on. So you ultimately, for that area in the middle, in the mid-coast area, those three river systems, how many jobs you ultimately see? Have you already hit the maximum? Do you see a total of 8? Do you see 800?
No, I don't think 800.
I'm just throwing numbers out.
All right, here's something to you also to consider. Which You know, I love the Canadians. I actually have family in Canada, but we've seen big numbers come out of Canada and affect our timber and our lumber, and we compete with them. They sound like they've got a bigger workforce ready to harvest than we do. That makes me a little nervous. But as far as jobs, we're just scratching the surface. Because I could, if I decided to buy seaweed from hand harvesters and run them through my pump. Robert Morris's, which I have tried, and it requires a rare breed of hardworking individuals to do the hand harvesting. We have testimonies for that, and they're hard to come by. They really are. But I could employ hand cutters to then feed the pumps, which would then set it up to be processed at Atlantic Lab. And so we have yet to scratch the surface because we're just a little bit nervous because the state of Maine has yet to stand behind this fishery and protect it from things that have taken place like in Cobscook Bay, where you have this no harvest area, which has compromised men's ability to work productively there because they can't harvest according to the weather or the wind. The two boats that I own have come from Cobscook Bay because of the restrictions and limitations that have been put on them. If you've got hard northwesterly wind all winter long, you cannot harvest a north-facing shore. It's impossible. We have to be able to harvest in the lee of an island where there's no wind. So we plan our harvest accordingly. In Cobscook Bay, because of the 54% no harvest area, these guys are stuck in areas that they can't harvest efficiently. And so I ended up with discouraged boat owners that said, I can't get people to work because it's just too difficult to get a good management plan going there because of the restrictions that were in place and other elements, obviously human error and weather. And so we're able to, because of our ability to work areas according to the weather, be more efficient and productive, which keeping people employed is an important thing. Long answer.
Thank you.
Yep. Anyone else? Any other questions? Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.